Morning, everyone. He is risen.
Risen indeed.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, it is hard to not be together, especially on this day, the day when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. But I take comfort in the fact that knowing we are together, as Mike said earlier, this building isn't the church. You are the church. We together are the church. And we join together with millions of fellow brothers and sisters around the world right now who are worshiping Jesus and celebrating that Jesus is alive forevermore. He died on the cross for our sins and rose again, defeating death, living forevermore. So that when we die also to our sins, by believing in Jesus, just that simple, just believing in Jesus, we too live forever with Him. We look forward to the day when the Lord Jesus comes back and takes us all to be home together forever. But until that day comes, we celebrate. We celebrate Jesus. Before we turn to the Word, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, we do worship You and celebrate the Lord Jesus, crucified and risen. We thank You, O Lord God, that You paid for our sins. And we thank You that death could not hold You. Oh no, no way. We thank You that though at its darkest it looked like Satan had the victory, but no, no way. Jesus, You and You alone are victorious. And on this resurrection morning, Lord, we remember and we celebrate and we proclaim to each other and to a world around us, Jesus, You are God. You are our Savior, and we will trust in You. Lord, would You please help us now by the working of Your Holy Spirit, wherever we are right now, Lord, that we are one because of You, O Spirit. We pray, O Lord, that You would quicken our hearts, our minds, our souls to Yourself through Your Word now. Work within us, O God. Well up within us holy affections for Jesus, Lord. Set our minds on the truth of Christ. Awaken us when we sleep, Lord. Open our eyes and ears that we would see and hear Jesus in faith and be born again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This year we'll be looking at the resurrection events from the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. If you have your Bibles with you, would you turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, the last chapter. We look at the events of the resurrection, verses 1 through 10. Remember, all seemed dark. Everything seemed hopeless. Even those who had put their hope that Jesus was who they expected, which they didn't fully understand who He was, but even when they hoped that He would help rescue them from their political environment and their social woes and misery, that at this point, they're in despair. Nothing feels good anymore. Their efforts to even hope feel dashed now. They feel utterly disillusioned. Everything they thought they were believing seems to be ruined, to be a lie. the resurrection. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and they took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is God's word. When they get there, the tomb is empty. Today, as we gather, the tomb is empty. Forevermore, the tomb is empty because Jesus Christ is alive. He is alive now, and He is alive forevermore. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lives. And because He lives, we, when we believe in Him, will live too. The tomb is empty. Well, first we see Mary and Mary go to the tomb. This is Mary Magdalene. And it says the other Mary. Now there are many Marys that we come across in the scriptures here. In the Gospel of Matthew, we're not told much about the other Mary. In the Gospel of Mark, it describes her as Mary, the mother of James. Mary Magdalene tends to have a misunderstood reputation. She had 7 demons cast out of her by Jesus. She was locked, bound by the evil one. And in Luke chapter 8, Jesus heals her. She then supports Jesus' ministry and goes around with him and follows him and supports him. She's not a prostitute. That is nowhere in the scriptures. So Mary Magdalene and Mary the other Mary go to the tomb thinking that they want to put the burial spices on Jesus, as was part of their custom. And of course they go there with the spices. Why? Because they expect to find Jesus dead. That's what they expect. And that's not what they find. Instead, in verses 2 through 4, we see they find an angel of the Lord at the tomb. Tells us in verse 2 that there is a violent earthquake, and this earthquake is caused by the angel. As the angel rolls back the stone, there is a huge earthquake. Now, if you remember, the Pharisees had hired guards because they were fearful that someone was going to try to steal the body and pretend that he had been raised from the dead. And so they had guards standing there. And when the guards not heard the earthquake, but when the guards saw the angel, these tough, battle-tested soldiers were terrified. They were absolutely terrified of him. It says in verse 4, For fear of him, the angel, the guards trembled and became like dead men. We often think of angels, and we have beautiful pictures of them. Very comforting pictures of angels. Soft and delicate. In the scriptures, the angels tend to be quite fierce. But not fierce with anger or anything like that. Fierce and mighty with the glory of God. The angel described here, it says his appearance was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. This angel is so striking. He's shining, flashing like lightning. So much so that these guards are absolutely terrified. It's actually the most common reaction we see to angels in the scripture. When they do appear in physical form before humans, we tend to fall like dead, as though we were dead before them, because we see just a glimpse of the glory of God as it shines through them, the power of our Lord. But this angel, though he appears fine with the guards being terrified, he doesn't turn to them and say anything to them. Instead, Mary and Mary meet the angel in verses 5 through 7. The angel turns to the women, again, not the soldiers, and says to them, "Do not be afraid." It is not the angel's intention to be terrifying. Not trying to scare anybody. Again, it's the power of God radiating forth from them. And his desire, for it is God's desire, is to comfort these women. Now, in the law of the land here, the testimony of a woman would not be admissible in court. It had to be a testimony of men. The system was woefully unfair. And it's just a small point maybe, but I think an important one, that God chooses to reveal himself first to these women and tells them to go and testify, to be the witnesses to the disciples and then to the world. God continues to turn our thoughts of the kingdom and what's powerful and what rules, continues to turn it upside down. Jesus shows his tender mercies for all those that we may not recognize as of equal value. Jesus does. The angel meets first with these women and says, "Do not be afraid." And the reason he doesn't want them to be afraid is because he knows why they're there. And he knows they're looking for Jesus and they're afraid something horrible has happened. But it's just the opposite. Something glorious has happened. The angel says, "I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." He was crucified. He was completely dead when he was put in the tomb. But that has completely changed now. The angel continues, "He is not here, for he is risen." Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. "Come, see where they lay him. Come see that the tomb is empty. Come, listen to the testimony of God through the angel that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead." And then he instructs them to be the witnesses, to go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. But it doesn't end there. The women start to depart. And then Mary and Mary meet Jesus in verses 8 through 10. As they depart, it says they leave the tomb and they have mixed emotions as they leave. They're feeling multiple things according to this passage and according to the scriptures in verse 8 here. It says they leave and they have fear. And they leave, and they have great joy. That makes sense when we think about it, doesn't it? Fear at what is going on. They never expected, though, of course, as we know, we should have understood, just as we all should understand, as Jesus has declared to us that He had to die and rise again. Just like we don't understand so often, especially we don't understand before we're born again, before we believe in Jesus for the first time. The women yet didn't understand. And so they were scared still, even though the angel said, "Do not be afraid." They still were full of fear at all the confusion of what was going on. But they also had great joy because they believed the angel. The angel spoke. They hadn't yet seen Jesus. And they experienced great joy because they believed. They believed that Jesus was risen from the dead. And then as they're going about, Jesus greets them. We see in verse 9, "And behold, Jesus met them and says, 'Greetings.'" Oh, what must that have been like? What must it have been like to have thought Jesus was dead, to have thought that there was no more hope left in the whole world, that everything good turned out to be bad, and yet, having started to believe now because of the angel, they encountered the risen Jesus, our Savior who we love, whom Mary and Mary loved. "Greetings," He says to His dear sisters here, not physical sisters, but sisters in Him, in God. They came up to Him, they take hold of His feet, and they worship Him. Now that's interesting, isn't it? We worship God and God alone. And only God is to receive worship. So in that very, very short phrase there, we see two things. One, the women believe that Jesus Christ is God. They have faith and they worship Him. And second, we see that Jesus is proclaiming He is God because He receives their worship. God and God alone is to be worshipped. And Jesus says, "Yep," because He is God. Just like in Mark chapter 2, when friends lower a paralytic into a house where Jesus is teaching, and Jesus sees their faith and says, "Your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisees around Him say, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Yep. That's why Jesus forgave their sins. Because Jesus is God. That's why Jesus receives the worship of Mary and Mary. Because He is God. He tells them also to not be afraid, but to go tell His brothers in Galilee, and they will see Him there. Jesus is going to appear to His disciples alive. Paul later writes, He's going to appear to over 500 people who go forth and testify to the world and testify to us today that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is alive. Will you believe that? Jesus died for purpose. He died because He loves you. He died because He knows that we are sinful. And our sin breaks our relationship with God. Romans chapter 6 says that the price, the wage of our sin is death. That's our deserved consequences of our sins. And Jesus, out of love, goes to the cross in our place, taking on the consequence of our sin, taking on death for us, so that when you believe in Jesus, not pray enough times a day, not go to church enough times, not give enough money, not be good enough in your daily routines and try to keep all of God's commandments perfectly, because we can't, no one can, right? We see that in 1 John, no one can say they are without sin. We see that in Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We see that in our own life, don't we? That we all sin. And therefore, we need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. He died on the cross for us, to pay for our sins. But if you or I die in our sins, we die forever. But because Jesus is God, when He died, death could not hold Him. And He rose again from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive now and forevermore. Will you believe Him? Will you believe that Jesus is God? Jesus is the Christ? Jesus is our Savior? Will you trust and hope with all you have upon Jesus, knowing that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Let's pray. Lord, You are God, and we worship You. You are risen from the dead, and You live forevermore. I pray, O God, by the working of Your Holy Spirit, by Your grace, not by any good works within us, by Your grace,
Lord, You are God.
That You, O Lord God, would be glorified, would turn our hearts to You, and we would worship You. We pray to You in Jesus' name. Amen.